Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, good night. Whenever you are listening to this, I hope it finds you in fantastic health. My name is Jordan McClain, and I am here to let you know that the following podcast is scheduled for one fall. Hello, good people. Episode 16. Man, we up in this thing. Thank you so much for pressing play. I really appreciate it. I don't just say that for my health, man. I say it because I absolutely mean it. You guys, you help me live my dreams every time you press play on anything that I do. And I am forever indebted to anyone who listens to any of my podcasts, who watches any of my videos that go up on my YouTube channel, or you know, who shares anything that I put out. Your help is indescribable. I don't think I could ever properly thank you enough for just that small gesture. My message to you guys this week is about knowing who is around you. For those of you who follow me, you already know. For those of you who don't follow me, maybe you don't know, but you're learning right now. I am starting my own wrestling promotion, Our Culture Pro Wrestling. And one thing that I can tell you guys, in my pursuit of starting this wrestling promotion, is that my eyes have been opened to a lot of bullshit. My eyes have been open to a lot of fake shit. I don't get on this podcast to bash anybody. Y'all know that that ain't even my style. I try not to do that in my personal life, bash anybody. So I'm certainly not going to spend time on this platform calling anybody out. But it's when you try to do something that's outside of the norm, it becomes abundantly clear who wants you to stay where you are. And a lot of the time, at least in my personal experience, it ends up being somebody very close to you. Again, I'm not going to say no names, man. I don't want to start no bullshit. But you know, I've noticed that when this was just an idea, when OCPW was just a dream, there were a lot of people that I told this idea to who said, "Fantastic, Jordan. I'm glad you're doing it, bro, because, man, it's needed, man. And you got a mind for the business, brother. And, you know, I'm so glad that you're finally doing something, you know, like this. And it's, I'm proud of you. And anything that you need, man, you just let me know. I'm here to help you." That was when this was just an idea. But then this thing turned into a reality. I started researching and learning the steps that I need to take to make it happen, to go from just an idea, from just lip service, to an actual breathing, living thing. And in my pursuit of doing that, I've noticed that more and more people have fallen off the train. Now, don't think that I mean, you know, I've stopped talking to people or anything like that. Nothing has changed on my part. And y'all know me. I'm man enough to admit if I've switched up. Nothing's changed on my part. It seems like when I announced OCPW and when I said that this was the thing that I was going to do, almost everyone who said they would support me has backed out. And when I say support, I don't mean they're giving me money. I don't mean financial support. Even small things such as spiritual support. You know, I say it often, you don't have to spend money to support somebody, especially not in this business, because this business has predominantly, historically, run off of word of mouth. So what I mean when I say support, I mean things as small as if I make a flyer, share it. If I announce something has happened, congratulate it. If I come to you and ask you for advice after you've told me that you would give me some advice, don't leave me on read. Small things like that. See, I'm one of those people. I tend to be a loner, and I tend to want to do things for myself anyway. So I have a hard time with the concept of asking anybody for such as financial help. I have a hard time doing that. You can ask some of the people who have stepped up to help me. I've told them, I don't know how in the hell I'm going to get sponsors for this thing when it does kick off, because I have a hard time asking people for their money. I can do it. I don't like to do it. I like the thought of being wholly, solely independent. I like the thought of no one has control over anything that I do except me. I equate money to power. If you have the money, you have the power. So therefore, if you are giving me money, this is just how my mind operates. If you are giving me money, you have power over me. I don't like for nobody to have any power over me. But simple things, you know, like sharing a post, or hell, even liking a post, just acknowledging the post. You know what I mean? OCPW, I think I announced it in January. I want to say I announced it before my birthday. And there are some people who, when it was just an idea, said that they would support it 100%. They, you know, the, whatever I needed them to do, they were down to do it. There are some of those people who were in that group who have not mentioned OCPW to me one time. They haven't shared anything. They haven't liked anything. They haven't commented on anything. They don't ask me how it's going. They don't ask me what do I need. Because honestly, if you ask me, I'm going to tell you, I just need you to share my shit. Because I don't know who you know. You know? Right now, we're in the process of looking for a venue. Well, that's the big part of what we're doing. I'm getting my license and everything before that. But that's the first big major step that we have to take. And my thought process is, if you share this post one time, I don't know who you know, but that one person could see your post and say, I'm down with that. Let me reach out to these people. Do you see what I'm saying? Especially when you're the one, when you're the one who said, I will help you in any way I possibly can. It's maybe I sound cynical, maybe I sound hurt, I don't know, but my message to you guys is, be careful who you have around you. Because one thing that I've noticed, not just with OCPW, but honestly in my few years in this business, a lot of people will say they are happy for you because you are not above them. You are not outdoing them. But the second you step a little bit further than them, the second that you step a little bit out of the box that they put you in, the second that you place yourself in a situation that they don't feel like you deserve to be in, they'll switch up on you real fast. That's why I try to, the people who are helping me, I try to focus on them. The people who do support what I do, I try to thank them every single time. And hey, don't get it confused. There are some people who have openly supported this thing that I would have thought would never acknowledge me. There are some people who have complimented me in my work, and I have cried because of it, because I respect them and I admire them, and I didn't think that they even really knew who the hell I was. So this message is not to bash anybody. I'm simply telling you guys a part of my journey to get you guys to understand that not everyone who is on your side is in your corner. There will be people who are in your corner. Those are the people that you got to focus in on. And don't think that just because you got history with somebody, just because you and such and such are real cool and been cool your whole career, don't think that that person is the person that can't switch up on you. Because one thing I've learned real fast in this business, if anybody's going to switch up on you, it's always going to be the people that you don't expect to. Always, 100% of the time, the people who will switch up on you are the people you are least expecting to do it. So be careful who you got around you, because if you got these big dreams, there are going to be certain people who will masquerade as support. But you got to pay close attention. Pay close attention to those friends who say negative shit, but put it under the guise of, I'm just joking with you. Pay close attention to the friends who never share anything that you have going on, but they always trying to see what you have going on. Pay close attention to the friends whose conversation likes to change when you start mentioning anything good you have going on. Pay close attention to them people. Get those people out of your circle, and then bring in the people who encourage your conversation. Bring in the people who are willing to share your flyer, your promo picture, your promo post about you're wanting to work in this, that, and the third. Pay close attention to the people who actually are there for you. I don't know what everyone's faith is who listens to this. I personally believe in a God. And my God always makes it very clear to me who stays and who goes. They make it very clear. I hope that you all will pray or meditate or whatever it is you do, even if you don't believe in anything. I hope that you guys can start looking at who's there, who's around. Because I'm telling you, the people that you think will have your back the most, sometimes, in my experience, it's been almost 100% of the time, those people will be the very people who will let you down. Get you a solid tribe in this business. You need a support system in this business. Get you a solid support system, people who really genuinely root for you, and then keep that circle tight. All right, so let's get into this mainstream news this week. I'm really only going to talk about three things. But we're here. So let's talk about him. First up, let's talk about Bobby Lashley winning the WWE Championship last Monday, 1 week ago on Monday Night Raw. I touched on this in my YouTube video that went up last week, if you're not subscribed to my YouTube channel, where I talk about some of the extra stuff that I may not get to talk about on this podcast. Go ahead and go over there and subscribe for me. The link should be in the description if I remember to put it in the description. But I just want to talk about that, you know, that significance, because I don't think it really dawned on a lot of people outside of the African-American community just how important it is for us to be represented on every single level of professional wrestling. The WWE title, for all intents and purposes, is the biggest title in the world. Of course, it's going to change depending on who you ask and depending on what they like. I personally, even though I don't watch WWE regularly, regard the WWE title as the title in this business. To have a black man win that title is extremely significant, not just to me, but to my wrestler friends, to young wrestling, black wrestling fans who are watching WWE because that's all maybe their parents know. I'll just leave it at it's very important. It's very, very important that we see that kind of representation. There's talk among fans that he'll hold it until WrestleMania, and this is setting up for Brock to come back, and him versus Brock at Mania, Brock is going to win the title off of him. I don't really care. At this point, y'all, I will take what I can get. If WWE sees fit to give a black man the WWE Championship, I will take it. Bobby Lashley is the third black man in the history of that company, in the history of that title, to win that belt. The other two being Kofi Kingston and The Rock. Now, there's some, I guess, argument, because some people say The Rock doesn't necessarily embrace his blackness. Again, that's inconsequential to me. The man has a black father. He is black, as far as I am concerned. There was also somewhat of a, not argument, but I guess a statement that I've seen floating around that Bobby Lashley is Panamanian, I guess. From Panama, I'm not sure, because that, honestly, I'm not even gonna lie to you, that's the first time I've ever heard that. I just thought Bobby was a big ass black man, but again, inconsequential, you guys. I'm not gonna take y'all through no history lesson. Bobby Lashley's black. He's the third black man to hold the WWE title. Let's just breathe and enjoy this, okay? I also wanted to touch briefly on, this is not one of like the major topics that I'm touching on, but I also wanted to touch briefly on this Apollo Crews thing. I've seen a lot of people saying that Apollo is faking his accent. Apollo is running with stereotypes as far as where his new character is going. I'm not Nigerian, so I'm not going to speak for Nigerians as far as whether it's a good thing or a bad thing. I will say that, again, as a black man, I can appreciate that another black man has more TV time. I will say that. I can appreciate that, especially because Apollo Crews is so talented. He's been talented for years. He's so talented. I personally am just glad that he's getting a shot. I hope that it turns into something more. I hope that this possibly leads him to a WWE championship or a Universal Championship in the future, because I do think, and I may be in the minority, but I do believe that Apollo Crews has all the tools and all the, what's the word? I'll use charisma, even though that's not the word I want to use. He has all of that to be a good representative for that company. I think that's what people have to kind of get through their minds. The WWE champion is not just a wrestling champion. The WWE champion is an ambassador for that company. Okay? That's really what any champion is. They are an ambassador for the company with which they hold their title. So when you're looking at who's WWE champion, who would make a good WWE champion, you have to understand more goes into it than who's a great wrestler. There are fantastic, phenomenal wrestlers on that roster who I personally don't think would be good ambassadors for WWE. So if you're just going off of wrestling ability, sure, there are plenty of people who should be WWE champion. And I'm not going to argue with you about any of it. But when you look at what a champion is in its totality, when you look at the fact that the champion is the ambassador for the brand, the pickings get very, very, very slim, especially when it comes to WWE. So I realize that not a lot of just casual fans think about it like that, which is why I go back and reiterate Bobby Lashley being the champion. It makes great sense. Bobby Lashley is very well spoken. He's, I think, a great representative, a great ambassador. He has crossover appeal with his past in the UFC, so a lot more people know the name Bobby Lashley. If they hear the name Bobby Lashley, they're going to know, oh, that was that guy who used to be in, I believe it was the UFC. Maybe it was Bellator. I don't remember. I'm not a big UFC fan. But, you know, y'all get what I'm saying. Bobby Lashley has that crossover mainstream appeal. And we don't get that a lot as black people. So I'm going to appreciate what we got. Next up, we're going to talk about Shaq in AEW. Now, listen. I'm not a huge fan of celebrity interaction unless they're going to take it seriously. When Bow Wow started his bullshit, he seemed like he was going to take it seriously. I was on board with it. Apparently, he's not. That shit with him and Soulja Boy, I'm not even going to bother talking about. But this thing with Shaquille O'Neal, I was a little worried just because Shaq, as far as I know, is what, in his late 40s, early 50s, something like that. And I didn't know, I knew going into it that this was mostly just a spot to make Jade Cargill and Red Velvet look good. And they did. They looked fantastic in this match. But I'm going to talk about Shaq. I put it on Facebook. And I want y'all to hear what I had to say and let me know if you agree with what I had to say. So I said, given what Shaq did in AEW, given his size, if Shaq in the early 90s had chosen wrestling over the NBA, I believe Shaq would have been a multi-time world champion in any company that he went to. Shaq, he showed up, man. He really did. He showed up. That powerbomb he did on Cody was beautiful. And that table spot, listen, I said it on Facebook. I know plenty of trained wrestlers who have been doing this for years who would not do that spot. They've said as much. They are not, they're afraid to do a table spot, I guess. I'm not calling anybody out. I'm just saying. That's what I've seen. There are a lot of trained professional wrestlers who do it full time who refuse to take a table spot. So Shaq came in, he took that big table spot, he sold it beautifully. When celebrity interaction is done like this, I can get behind it. I can get jiggy with it. because I also don't believe that we're going to go any further with that. I don't think we're going to get Shaq back for any storyline or any, you know, length of time or anything like that. I do believe that it was just a one-off spot. It did what it needed to do. It got eyes on the product, because I ain't even going to hold y'all, fam. I wasn't checking for AEW, and I'm still really not. But once I seen that that match was on, I turned on my TV to watch it. And that's what it was supposed to do. So, the Shaq experiment in AEW, big success as far as I'm concerned. Speaking of AEW, the whole reason that this show is a day late is because I wanted to talk about this big signing that AEW was teasing. You guys know when Paul White came over to AEW last week, he was teasing that at AEW Revolution, there would be this legendary Hall of Fame worthy signing. Everyone kind of speculated throughout the week, who is it going to be? Brock Lesnar's merch is not on WWE shop. It hasn't been for a while, but okay. Kurt Angle teased a little video and put it out. People thought it may be Kurt Angle. Some people, believe it or not, some people actually thought John Cena. I think the biggest consensus was it would be CM Punk. I'm not going to lie to you. CM Punk is the only person who could have showed up that would have made me pop. CM Punk is the only person that would have got me excited. And not because I'm a fan of CM Punk or anything, but just shock value alone. It ended up being Christian Cage. Now, when I first seen it, the first thing I said was, I'm going to sit with this overnight. And I encourage everybody out there, especially in this business, sit with your feelings overnight. I understand, like, we're in that age of social media, instant gratification. You can put your immediate thoughts right out into the Twitter world and all of that. But I encourage you all to at least think about how you feel before you start saying stuff. Because I'm telling you, when I first saw that it was Christian, I was not happy. I'm not even going to hold you, boss. I was not happy with the signing. Because although Christian is fantastic, Christian and Big Show are one in the same as far as their experience. Christian knows more about this business than most people will ever know. He was, in his prime, a phenomenal worker. I will always hold that Christian was the better worker, but Edge had the it factor out of the two. So that's why Edge's career sort of took off post-Edge and Christian. But Christian has always been a phenomenal worker. His mind for the ring, I'm sure, is impeccable. He's still young. You know what I mean? It's not like he's in his 60s or 70s. And AEW signing him. So, I see why they would sign him. And I am no longer angry that they signed him. However, I will say this. My only issue with AEW is that it feels like it's a bunch of homies just playing. And there hasn't been a lot of seriousness in AEW. It doesn't feel like they take themselves seriously as a serious wrestling promotion who can be competitive with the WWE. When you look at WWE, you see business, okay? When you look at WWE, it's a tightly run ship. Everyone knows what the hell they're there for. Everyone comes in, does their job. There's no fooling. There's no craziness. For the most part. Of course, business is business. But when you compare to me, when you compare AEW and WWE, just for the sake of the comparison, it feels like AEW does not take themselves seriously. Maybe that's by design. Maybe they don't want to be the serious wrestling promotion. Maybe they don't want to actually be competition for the WWE. Maybe they just want to do their own thing. If that's what it is, I can totally respect that. That they just want to do their own thing. They want to stay in their own way. But I can tell you, in-ring signings like Christian are not helping AEW. They're just not. Because there's just, AEW has so much good talent right there in their roster already, primed and ready for some main event spots, or at the very least, if given the opportunity, can be pushed to that main event spot. And it's like they're going to waste. The first person who comes to my mind is Will Hobbs. What the hell is Will Hobbs doing? When I look at that man, I see world champion. And to me, he is wasting away with Team Taz. Not to say that Team Taz is not a great thing, and Taz is phenomenal. But I think Taz is a great example of how to use our OGs in this business. Bring them in. Don't have them wrestling. Bring them in as mentors for this younger talent. Bring them in for their knowledge on commentary, because Taz was one of my favorite announcers when he was a SmackDown commentator. So bring them in for that. Bring them in for those real OG roles. Maybe give them, give them a moment in a match here and there. Kind of how they did Tully Blanchard. But having Christian as an in-ring performer, which I presume they will have him as. I'm not saying that they will. This is just my assumption that they will. Having him as a full-time in-ring performer, I don't know if I'm with it. I would much rather, because Christian is good on the mic, I would much rather they try to partner him up with a younger talent who maybe is not as good on the mic. Use him as an effective manager. Again, much like Taz, much like Tully Blanchard, much like Jake the Snake Roberts. I think that they are doing that correctly. They're not trying to push the OGs on us. But with all of these signings coming from WWE, a lot of people I saw online are beginning to feel like AEW is turning into WCW in the mid-90s. What does that mean? What does that mean, you may ask? What that means is that AEW is signing all these guys who have major connectivity and major, ties to WWE. It's good now. It's fun now. But when we really get down to brass tacks, it's going to be harder and harder to get some of these young cats over, because you're focusing on the wow factor of the legends. Now, don't get me wrong. WWE fucks off with that a little too hard too. Okay? WWE has a lot of young guys down in developmental and in NXT that I personally think should be on the main roster tearing it up. They got guys on the main roster that I personally think should be tearing it up. Instead, they're using guys and some girls that have been around for years. That's neither here nor there, though. I understand why you do it. I'm just saying, me personally, and from what I saw with this signing of Christian Cage, a lot of other people feel this way as well. If AEW is not careful, really, if pro wrestling is not careful, you're going to run into the issue of the legends not being able to do what they do at the capacity that you want them to, but you have not built up enough new stars to fill in the blanks. That's all I'm saying. Use your legends. I love that legends get used, because those guys and those girls know so much. So I love when they're used, especially when they're used properly. But fill in the blanks with the new stars. Don't just anticipate the legends are going to carry the show. Because unfortunately, whether we like it or not, Sting cannot go at the capacity he did in his peak. Okay? Christian cannot go at the capacity he did during his peak. And before y'all decide to say I'm a WWE fanboy, let me go ahead and say on the WWE side, I'm not a huge fan of Edge being in this position. Because Edge can, although Edge can still go, Edge cannot go at the capacity of his peak. All I'm saying is use these guys the way that they should be used, the way that you want to use them, but always fill in the blanks with the new young talent so that when these legends can no longer go or when they just decide they don't want to go no more, you're not missing out because your crowd, your audience is already acclimated to these young, fresh, new guys. That's all I'm saying. If everyone is used correctly, if everyone is win, I realize that you can't use everybody because you are only allotted so much time. But when you have so much content, look at this. WWE has Raw, SmackDown, and NXT as their top three brands. They still do main event. They don't push it as much, but they still do main event. Maybe they still do superstars. I'm not totally sure. But WWE has all of this time and content. AEW is going the same route. They have regular weekly TV. They have a weekly Dark episode. And now they're going to have another with AEW Dark Elevation. There is so much content. I don't think that there is any reason why you shouldn't push all that content to its greatest ability and try your best to get more eyes on the younger talent. So that way when these guys and girls do come up from developmental, from NXT, from AEW Dark Elevation, wherever they come from, when these guys and girls do come up, your audience is not confused. And your audience is not looking at you saying, where in the hell is Sting? Oh, well, Sting retired officially from the ring. What the hell are you talking about? Who's going to replace Sting? Now, again, I think they're doing Sting and Darby Allin correctly. That's a good example. I do think that they are doing Sting and Darby Allin correctly because there has never been sort of a successor for Sting because Sting has been going at high volume, high capacity for a while. But now I think that they are representing it very well that Darby is somewhat of a successor. So if Sting does decide to call it quits anytime soon, you kind of have Darby Allin there to fill that void. I think that they're using Taz in a fantastic way. So whenever Taz decides, you know, Taz kind of has that fuck you attitude. So whenever Taz decides he wants to take a step back or he wants to do less in whatever capacity, then you got Brian Cage and Will Hobbs and Ricky Starks who still have that rub of that fuck you kind of attitude. Tully Blanchard and FTR. Am I making sense? I hope I am. Just AEW does it good. I hope that they continue to do it well with Christian. That is one aspect that I do think WWE could learn from AEW. Learn how to use your older stars. Don't imply that Lacey Evans is pregnant by Ric Flair. That's all. What's up, guys? Thank you so much for checking out the podcast. If you like what you are hearing right now, be sure to subscribe and follow the podcast wherever you're listening. Anchor, Spotify, Google Podcasts, Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, and any number of other podcast apps. Wherever you're listening to this right now, be sure to subscribe so you don't miss any new episodes. Also, follow me on Instagram and Twitter at Mr. Jordan McClain to keep the conversation going. Let's get back to the show. Let's talk about the indies, kids. First up this week, we're talking about OWA's Good Trouble, available right now on IWTV. Absolutely stacked card, and I'll be honest, okay, I have watched this show once before, just as a fan, just for my pleasure. So I'm not going into it as blind as I usually go into these shows, but it's still a fantastic show. It's so great that I wanted to talk about it on the podcast, so let's get into it. First up, we've got Remarkable Ryan Rembrandt taking on Anthony Bennett in singles competition. I talked about Ryan Rembrandt last week on the show, so it's good to see him back here. And I don't think I've talked about Anthony Bennett before, but he really impressed me. This match started very technical, as expected. I mentioned last week when I spoke about Ryan Rembrandt that he had a very old school presence about him, and it was on display in this matchup. Anthony Bennett has a more flashy, fast-paced style than Ryan Rembrandt, so the game plan was seemingly for Ryan Rembrandt to ground Bennett early. Rembrandt stayed in control for a good part of this matchup, using the technicality to do things like float from a takedown straight into a single leg Boston Crab, then into an STF. That was a really good combination he pulled off there. Anthony Bennett got the win, though, after a beautiful crucifix bomb. A great opening match between these two. I think that they worked very well together, and they set a really good standard for the quality of this show. Whomever did the booking for this show did a fantastic job from top to bottom as far as what match they put together. Every single match was a great matchup, style-wise. Next up, we've got Devontaez taking on Lexus Montez. I'd seen Devontaez a handful of times before, but this was my first time seeing Lexus Montez again. Really good, solid matchup. Power and technicality versus speed and striking on display in this match. Lexus Montez was in control for the beginning of this match, using his strengths against Devontaez to keep that control. But Devontaez came back with a pounce. Now, rarely do we see somebody come back with a pounce. That's a pretty big move to do. So to hit a comeback with it just out of nowhere, that tells you what kind of cat we're dealing with when we talk about Devontaez. For a while, the match was in Devontaez's corner, but in the end, Lexus Montez picks up the W over a very game Devontaez. I was really impressed with this whole match. Just like in the first match, they worked well together and they complemented each other well in the ring. Fantastic match between two fantastic people. Next up, we've got AC Mack taking on PB. That is Pretty Boy Smooth. These are two of my favorite performers right now on the indies. Honestly, you'd be hard-pressed to find two more deserving unsigned talent than these two dudes. One thing that stood out to me almost immediately is PB's athleticism and technicality. In today's world, you know, when you're dealing with larger wrestlers, they're usually powerhouses or they're doing some cruiserweight shit. Now, don't get me wrong, PB certainly had some of that strength on display. However, to see things that he was doing as far as his reversals and the big time momentum shifts, not many, if any, larger competitors can or actually will do that. AC Mack, who I'm certain I've spoken about before, is, in my estimation, one of the best heels in independent wrestling today. He's extremely underrated in the larger sea of performers. He's loud, he's cocky, but he's so damn talented. And I believe that's what actually gets him over as a heel. He talks a bunch of shit. He's one of the best shit talkers going in the game today. But he can back it up. And I think that that's what people hate about him. He's so damn good that you hate that he's good. You know what I mean? He's certainly backed it up every single time I've seen him wrestle. Now, as great as these previous matches were, I think that this was the match that really lit the crowd up and got them fired up. Between their love for PB Smoove and AC Mack's cockiness, they wanted to see Mack get his ass whooped. You know, so there was some great storytelling during this match. PB Smoove picked up the victory with a big time Fallout powerbomb in a really fantastic showing from both men. Next matchup, we got treated to Don't Die Miles taking on the Pan-African World Diaspora Wrestling Champion, Trisha Dora, two extremely talented people. There was some great technicality in this match between these two. Trisha Dora performed a beautiful surfboard stretch on Miles that I don't think I've seen anyone do before, like in the style that she did it, because it was very aesthetically pleasing. She pointed her toe. It seemed like her knee was driving her knee straight into Miles's back, which made it look that much more devastating. I don't think I've seen anyone make a surfboard stretch look that painful. And if I'm not mistaken, she did it twice in this matchup. Much of this match was in Trisha Dora's favor, but Miles got in some very unique and hard-hitting offense. He hit Trish with things like a roll-through X-Factor and a springboard neckbreaker, which I don't think I've ever seen before. It was thing of beauty the way he hit that. I don't know how old these two are. I don't know how long either of them have been in wrestling. I hadn't researched them like that, but they both have the tools that they need to be superstars in this world. They really, really do. I'm really excited to follow their growth over the next few years and see where they land, because they're both so damn good at what they do. Trisha Dora won this match with the Lariat Tubman and retained her championship once again. Next up, we've got Trey Lamar taking on Eli Isom, two dudes I've been following for a little bit now. This match was very well paced. Trey and Eli let their match breathe when the match called for it, and you could feel when they were moving through different acts within their match. And I think that that worked in their favor because it kept the crowd invested in what they were doing. The previous matches, I felt, were somewhat uneven. For the most part, in the matches thus far, you could see a definitive dominant performance from one of the competitors, but this match was pretty even. You know, these guys were pretty much back and forth with each other. This match got a quick "this is awesome" chant. That's how good these two were with each other. They even got a "fight forever" chant, and honestly, I would agree. I was sitting here watching them and I was like, yo, I could watch these dudes in any scenario go at each other and I would probably love it. You know what I'm saying? You put them in an Iron Man match, I think it'd be dope. You put them in a ladder match, I think they'd be dope. You put them in just about any kind of match, these two would be dope. They clicked so well together. And if there is a match that I would want to see more of, it would definitely be Trey Lamar versus Eli Isom. I don't know what he calls it, but Eli Isom pulled off, it was like a dominator into a DDT. That shit was beautiful. And I certainly would like to see more of that. But in the end, Trey Lamar got the win via submission, playing on some quick storytelling with a modified lion tamer. It looked like to me, a modified lion tamer. Fantastic match, two phenomenal talents. Next up, we've got Lee Moriarty taking on O'Shea Edwards. I'm very familiar with O'Shea. When I started getting into independent wrestling a few years ago, O'Shea was down here in the South. He was based out of Atlanta, Georgia, and he was already tearing it up around the spot then, just tearing the joint up. So pretty much since I got into the business, I've known who O'Shea Edwards is. And I just recently got on the Lee Moriarty train. And I got to tell you, Lee Moriarty has quickly become one of my favorite overall performers to watch in this business. Now, let me say something that I don't think people often think about. I'm going to throw this out there, and I think y'all will agree with me. If you don't, hit me up on social media. I'm on Instagram and Twitter at Mr. Jordan McClain, and let me know how you feel. But I'm going to say something that I think most people would agree with. O'Shea Edwards is fantastic. I've watched him work with a lot of people, and he has always made them look phenomenal. He's very expressive. He's a great seller. If you couple that with his presence as a badass and his natural strength, O'Shea is the goddamn man. Do you hear me? On the flip side, Lee Moriarty, I think, is just as fantastic for a number of different reasons. His movement is really clean. He's got an unteachable charisma, and he makes a connection with every audience that I have ever seen him wrestling in front of. If anybody can absolutely wow a crowd, it is Lee Moriarty. This match was a stupendous match. Both competitors looking incredibly strong and capable throughout the match. I love the storytelling behind O'Shea's arm in this matchup because it gave the smaller opponent in Moriarty something to aim for and to work over to get the win. Or at least to try and get the win, because in the end, O'Shea Edwards won with what I know as a Rikishi driver. I'm not sure what O'Shea calls it, but it was a thing of beauty, and he gets the 1-2-3. Next up, we've got the OVW Tag Team Champions, the Tate Twins, going up against Main Event. Very familiar with the Tate Twins. I've been following them for a few years now, but this was my first time seeing Main Event. Now, like I said, I've been following the Tate Twins, so I knew what they were going to do. I knew what they, when they got in the ring, I knew how they was giving it up. I ain't even gonna hold y'all. This was my first time seeing Main Event, and them dudes might be my new favorite tag team. I don't know, man. Them dudes are some beasts in the ring. They are the definition, the absolute personification of big motherfuckers doing big motherfucking shit. I got to do some more research on them, but how these dudes aren't signed, I don't know. Because I'm telling you now, if I have the status, if I have the ability to sign these dudes, I absolutely would. Both of them. Actually, both teams. Like, I would sign both of these teams to long-term contracts, honestly. The Tate Twins done a great job of wrestling their kind of match against the much bigger men. You know, there were moments during this match where the Tate Twins were able to get some great offense. But Main Event were damn near perfect in this match. So perfect, honestly, that they got the win with the flea flicker. And honestly, I think this match has a good argument of being the match of the show. It was that damn good. These dudes were that damn good. Now, we move on to our absolutely sensational Main Event. The young GOAT, Myron Reed, taking on arguably the best wrestler in the game right now, Jonathan Gresham. The magnitude of this match was incredible. They hadn't even done anything. The bell had just rang, and the crowd was already chanting, "This is awesome." This match, honestly, this match was exactly what you would think it is. Jonathan Gresham, living up to that moniker of the Octopus, he was doing things I don't think I've ever seen a wrestler other than him do. These two, I don't know, man. These two just moved like water in a river. They were just so smooth and clean, and they were as phenomenal as two wrestlers could be. This is the kind of match that you show students in a wrestling school, because you could see these performers utilize the basics of wrestling and then add a little bit of sauce, a little bit of their own flavor to it to make their own phenomenal match and phenomenal Main Event. This is the kind of Main Event that I think you could put on any card in damn near any location and it works. I'm not gonna lie, I got lost in this match. Y'all know from me talking about MLW just how much I love watching Myron Reed. He's got the talent, the charisma, the style, and the passion to take the wrestling world by absolute storm. Jonathan Gresham, like I said, has a legit argument that he is the best wrestler in the world. If he said it, I wouldn't disagree. But that's how great this match was, man. This was my second time seeing it, and both times I got lost in the match. This match for me is on par with Lio Rush versus Blake Christian. I believe it was from GCW Slime Season. You can go back and listen to my review of that in the archives. But this match is on par with that match in the sense that it has become one of my favorite wrestling matches on any level, in any promotion, at any time in wrestling history. Jonathan Gresham wins this match via submission with a figure four leg lock, and that, ladies and gentlemen, closes the curtain on OWA's Good Trouble. Overall, phenomenal show from top to bottom. Every match worked. Every placement of every match worked. It felt like everybody really brought their A game to this show. I encourage you guys, if you have IWTV, go watch OWA Good Trouble. Even if you don't have IWTV, there's a number of people out here with codes to get you 5 free days of IWTV. Get somebody's code, get you IWTV for free for 5 days, and make sure in that 5 days, if you don't want to keep IWTV, I think you will, but if you don't, you watch this show. It was a phenomenal show. Let's talk about another new promotion, shall we? This is Anarchy Wrestling. You can find them over on YouTube. We're talking about their event, The Golden Ticket. This particular promotion has been popping up on my newsfeed recently. So when I saw that the full show was available, I knew I had to talk about it. I'm definitely excited to see what it's all about. Let's jump right into this review. So off the bat, I really enjoyed the setup. If I'm not mistaken, this took place at the Landmark Arena in Cornelia, Georgia. The production and setup felt like a throwback to studio wrestling. I don't know if that was intentional or not, but that's what it gave me. It felt very intimate and fun from just watching it this one time. First matchup in the Golden Ticket Tournament is Nick Halen taking on Tyler Culprit, who is also the Anarchy Wrestling Television Champion. I really like this match overall. I think Tyler Culprit and Nick Halen worked very well together. This match felt well-paced and smooth with nothing really out of place. Honestly, let's call a spade, it felt like what it was. It felt like two vets who knew what they were doing when they stepped into the ring. Two people who have done this before. You know what I mean? I will say, as somewhat of just a side note, this didn't feel like a usual Tyler Culprit match. I don't know if it was a choice or not, but I'm used to Tyler Culprit being a lot more methodical in his pacing. And when I say that, please don't misconstrue what I'm saying. This was not a bad match. This was actually a great match. It's just something I'm pointing out. I've gotten used to Tyler Culprit's matches going a certain way, and we will see that style of match later in the night, but it was noticeable to me as someone who has watched quite a few Tyler Culprit matches at this point. In the end, Tyler Culprit does get the win via roll-up. I really like the opening contest, man. No muss, no fuss. They did what they had to do out there. Our next match is Scott Mason taking on Will Caution. The match start out in chaos, okay? It's just like Scott Mason woke up and chose chaos. He attacked Will Caution before the match even starts, before the bell can even ring. The official match ended almost as fast as it started. Honestly, Will Caution got a beautiful cutter onto Scott Mason and got the win in this match after a quick interruption. You gotta go watch the show to see what I'm talking about. I'm not gonna spoil everything for you guys. Just go watch what I'm talking about. Next up, we're treated to an in-ring segment, Cross the Line, with Marcus Cross. He brings out the GM, wrestling legend Bull Buchanan. Did not know Bull Buchanan was the GM of Anarchy Wrestling. Fantastic to see him. Bull makes the case for his son Ben and his recent actions before Matt Hankins and Shane Marks. I know people's names. before Matt Hankins and Shane Marks come out and press some serious buttons against Bull Buchanan again. I'm not going to spoil it for you. You got to go and watch this show to see for yourself what's going on. We get to our next match, Brian Blaze taking on Adrian Hawkins in another Golden Ticket Tournament match. This match started, again, in chaos. Adrian Hawkins was able to make it an even matchup pretty early with some mind games against the Undeniable. It was a real fun moment, that really got the crowd hyped up. Adrian Hawkins hit a beautiful Codebreaker. He does not call it a Codebreaker. I missed the name of it. But it was a very beautiful Codebreaker nonetheless. And instead of going for the pin, again, just decided he was going to go for chaos. Decided he was going to make it a hardcore matchup. So the match ended with a double DQ. And both men were then eliminated from the tournament. Because of that DQ, we get straight to what we thought were the finals of the Golden Ticket Tournament, with Tyler Colpret taking on Will Caution. Will Caution showed some fantastic athleticism early on in this matchup, and I like that he stayed on Colpret. I've said before on this show just how cerebral Tyler Colpret can be. So one way to really counteract him is to smother him with offense and don't give him time to get his plan off. And I feel like that's what Will Caution did. But Tyler Colpret did get some great offense in. He went for what looked to be like a hangman neckbreaker, and then he spun into a wicked elbow to the back of Caution's head that looked just vicious. And from there, it became very calculated and more paced to Tyler Colpret's style, like I mentioned earlier. So after some big moves, Will Caution gets the win and becomes, again, as we thought, the 2021 Golden Ticket Tournament winner. Get some shenanigans. You gotta go watch. Next up, we've got tag team action. Some of my favorites in this match here. We got Southern Strong Style, Proc the Croc Johnson, J2 Strong taking on Jacob Ashworth and Hold My Beer Hansen. Now, this was interesting for me because Southern Strong Style worked as the heels in this match, which is something that I'm not used to seeing. I loved it, but I'm just not used to seeing it. Jacob Ashworth and Hold My Beer Hansen held a good bit of this match down until Proc Johnson got involved. I've said it a couple times, Proc and J2 Strong are great separately and great together. So I think they make a fantastic tag team. They can stand alone, they can stand together. Proc Johnson is an absolute fucking hoss. He is the definition of big motherfuckers doing big motherfucking shit. Do you hear me? After a big time hot tag though, Jacob Ashworth hit a big time move to secure the win for himself and Hold My Beer Hansen, a really hype tag team match that certainly deserves a lot of recognition. Our next match is another tag team match as well. Matt Hankins and Austin Towers taking on Alex Keitel and Dynamic Dexter. So Austin Towers here in Anarchy Wrestling is a part of The Undeniable, which works fantastically to me because I love heel Austin Towers. I love Austin all around, let's be honest. But heel Austin Towers is, in particular, one of my favorites. This was a beating from the very beginning with very little chance for Keitel and Dexter. I cannot tell a lie. Austin Towers came in and does what he does, what I always tell y'all he's going to do. No muss, no fuss. The Undeniable gets the win in this matchup very quick. Next, we've got Will Caution in his third match of the night taking on David Ali in the actual finals of the Golden Ticket Tournament. Like I said, you gotta watch the show to know how in the hell we managed to wind up here. At any rate, this thing started out hot and heavy. Will Caution did a beautiful dive on Ali. I mean, he got up there, Shawty, before Ali could even get into the ring. Now, here's something I want to say. David Ali and Tyler Copret are a lot alike in the fact that they're both very calculated. So it made sense for Will Caution to handle this match the same way as he was trying to handle Copret by staying on top of him and smothering him with the offense. David Ali did come back and did what he had to do, showing off that well-rounded offense and a great mixture of strength and technicality and striking. I really love David Ali. I do. I love David Ali. He's real slept on in the Southeast, and I think in the overall mythology that is independent wrestling. I love that this match ended up breaking down into basically just a straight up fight. At one point, these two were just in the middle of the ring throwing punches at each other. And I didn't think I really wanted it to stop. I like that it broke down like that. Ultimately, after a fantastic match and a fantastic night, Will Caution gets the win and officially now is the winner of the Golden Ticket Tournament. And that ends a great episode of Anarchy Wrestling, ladies and gentlemen. Overall, I think it was a fantastic show. Like I said, I love the vibe of it. I really love that it was simple. They didn't overdo it. You know, a lot of indie shows, this ain't no shade before anybody says anything, because some of my favorite indie shows do this. But, you know, a lot of indie shows these days try to match as closely to mainstream wrestling as humanly possible. They have these elaborate setups and, you know, the production is absolutely bananas with 4K, and I think some of them are moving up to 6K, and I've seen some indies with pyro. And I understand it. You want to make your promotion stand out. You want to make your promotion the big dog. What I loved about this in particular, Anarchy Wrestling, and again, I don't know, because I'm not a frequent watcher, this is my first time seeing Anarchy Wrestling, I don't know if maybe they were just confined to the Landmark Arena and couldn't do that, but they regularly do that. I don't know. I'll have to go back and watch more. But I like that Anarchy Wrestling felt very old school, very studio. And what I loved about it is that it felt like they made every effort to really focus on what was happening in the ring. They didn't want to, you know, get out too often near the crowd and do anything crazy or anything. It felt like they wanted that action in the ring. They wanted you to focus on what was happening, and they really, really wanted to put the wrestlers over. Commentary did a great job of that. Commentary was not overwhelming. I did not get taken away from the match because commentary was so overwhelming. Overall, I think it was a fantastic show, and I really want you guys to go watch it. Anarchy Wrestling, go over to YouTube. This episode is the Golden Ticket. Make sure you watch it. Tell me what you think on the social medias. And that, ladies and gentlemen, wraps up episode 16 of our show. Thank you so much for listening. I love you for listening. Be sure to follow me on social media. I'm on Instagram and Twitter at Mr. Jordan McClain. Let's talk about some wrestling, y'all. Let's get off into these topics. Let's, you know what I'm saying? Let's converse about the things. You feel me? And if you have a wrestling show that you would like for me to review, you got something you want me to talk about, be sure to just hit me up. Like I said, I'm on Instagram and Twitter at Mr. Jordan McClain. And the podcast has an official Facebook page. The following podcast is scheduled for one fall. If you know the logo, you know the page. Here's a little bit of news for you that you might have missed. I am one of the sponsors for a wrestling show that is going down WrestleMania weekend, April 9th at Egypt Shriners in Tampa, Florida. Bell time is at 6 p.m. Booten Hill presents The Exhibition. It's going down. Basement. You can go ahead and get your tickets at theexhibition.eventbrite.com. A bunch of my homies that I talk about on the show is going to be there, and a bunch of people that I'm excited to get to know at some point are going to be on that show as well. So be sure you go out and support them. I actually have some really exclusive interviews coming fairly soon. Within the next 2 weeks, I got a few interviews from that show, about that show rather, coming to the stream, man. So be sure that you are following the podcast stream wherever you get your podcasts. Spotify, Google Podcasts, Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, Anchor, wherever you get your podcasts. If this is your first time listening, make sure you hit that follow button so you do not miss an episode. I think that's all I got, man. If I'm forgetting anything, I apologize. We'll talk about it at some other time. But my name is Jordan McClain. That's all I got. Love y'all. Peace.